Thank you, Shannon. That was really good. I'm just going to quote you during my sermon. Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 14, reading verses 22-33. And the context of this is really just after last week, right after the feeding of the 5,000, just so you'll know. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you give us your word. Thank you that in all the things we go through in our lives, that you are with us and you speak to those things. Help us to bring all of ourselves in here today as we encounter your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. That last little bit of my prayer is a kind of, I'm praying for all of us here, because I've noticed, you know, I have Sundays off and I hear other people preach, and I notice that I can check out during a sermon. You know, I can not bring myself into it. And this is a really important passage for all of us to engage with personally, because we all have fears, and it's important, and we all want to have faith, and it's important for us to be able to name our fears. And so as I start the sermon, instead of me telling you a story about my fears, I want you to think about what you might be going through right now. There are a lot of things that we could be afraid of. And I don't know all the situations in the room. You know, you could be afraid of an illness or an illness in our family that could cause us to be afraid. We could be afraid of what life is like without a loved one that's been involved in our lives all these years. What does that look like? That may be scary. There's a million possibilities. We could be afraid about something to do with our job. We could be afraid with something to do with our spouse or our family or our children. What is it for you today? And you know, this, I always think it's important. Psychotherapists always try to get people to name the things they're thinking about or dealing with. And Jesus used to, with, you know, when he casted demons out of people, he would say to the demon, "What is your name?" And he'd go, "Legion, for we are many." And it's important to name it. Okay, and so as we're dealing with this scripture on fear and faith, it's important for you. You got it? Because I'm going to ask you again if you know what you're afraid, what your fear is right now. And it's important to kind of cast this thing. You know, the great thing about the Bible is that you can read it your whole life, and it gets deeper and deeper, and you see more things in it than you've ever seen before. And so I've seen something this time that I had never seen before. And I want to kind of share it with you. And that is how I used to even preach about this. The scripture that fear is a lack of faith. And I want to address that. And I'll tell you why. Fear not appears in the Bible more than any other imperative. It's a commandment. To disobey it is a sin. And then another, perfect love casts out all fear. If you're afraid, you're not rooted in God's love. Or you can't be fearful and faithful at the same time. Fear is a sign of faithlessness. And I have heard that preached that way pretty much my whole life. And I may have preached it that way sometime. But I'm starting to see that that's the wrong way to look at this. And that's the wrong focus on this passage. Because nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus teach us that bad things happen to us because we're too cowardly to earn God's protection. And, you know, you think about, we have a lot of people who struggle with anxiety. There are a lot of people who take medicine for anxiety. We have this thing in our brain called the amygdala that's part of how we were made that we would, be aware of threats to us. You know, when we're living on the savannas of Africa, you know, you see grass moving and that might be a saber-toothed tiger and, you know, you start to run. It was a protection mechanism. Fear was a protection mechanism. And we still got that. That's why all of the news outlets, they tread on fear. They tread on stock market crash, you know, World War III, pandemic, all that stuff. You know, they try to get your attention with the breaking news that happens all the time. So fear is something that is good for us. It's originally a protection mechanism, and we all have to deal with it. And I think I've come to the conclusion that God understands we have fear and that it doesn't cancel out our faith or say that we're not faithful, but there is a way to look at it. And so I think where I want to do today is look first at Peter and then look at Jesus in this story. So when we have Peter, let me just start at the beginning because it's so interesting. Jesus makes the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. I did a Palm Sunday sermon a few years ago about when Jesus told them to go in a village ahead of them. And it was one of the few times that they were like, wait, we're supposed to follow you. What are we doing going ahead of you? And this is kind of like that, that Jesus says, go in the boat without me. And they're like, really? We're going to go in the boat without you? And it doesn't really say there was a storm here. It just said a high wind. And people tell me that in Israel, and you can go to Israel in, was it Elizabeth, January? January, yeah. So I talked to Elizabeth, and you can see Lake Galilee, Sea of Galilee, and the winds on that. But it was wind. It was wind, and wind can be, you know, it can be pretty scary. And so Jesus went up the mountain to pray. Jesus prayed. Okay? So if you don't think you need to pray, Jesus, the Son of God, who is the closest person to God in the whole world, went up on them to pray by himself, needed to pray. So we need to, okay? So just want to point that out. Jesus prayed. And so then the disciples are out there rowing across the thing, and the winds are coming, and they're not making much time. It does not say that they're scared yet. What got them scared was Jesus. If you really look at it, they're just getting battered by the waves. They're not scared yet. But then it says, early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. Now, I don't have a problem with the God of creation being able to walk on water. I don't have a problem with that. You know, if you go up north, you can skate on water in the winter. So God's got the molecule thing figured out, all right? So I don't have a problem with that. But Jesus is walking towards them on the water, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It was Jesus that terrified them. And sometimes when God is working in our lives, we don't realize it's God, and it's terrifying. But God, it's God working in our lives. They are terrified of what they think it's a ghost. And this is before horror movies, okay? If you watch horror movies, you got a lot of other things you can think about nowadays, but they had ideas of ghosts then. And they cried out in fear. Okay, there's the fear right there. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Now, "do not be afraid" there is not a command for all time and all places. Jesus is saying, here's the reason not to be afraid. It's me. Okay? It is that, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So you have, if he's saying do not be afraid, you have control. You can choose to not be afraid. You have control over that because Jesus is there. It's Jesus in there. And he says, "Do not be afraid." And so then Peter, and this is something I've never noticed before. This is verse 28. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Does that sound like something you've heard before? Does that resonate like something that's happened in Jesus' life before? "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Do you remember that? That is not a question of faith. And Jesus understood that's a question of doubt. And it's like, "God, prove yourself to me." And I never noticed the similarity between what Peter says there and what the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. But it's almost word for word, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And you know, I just wonder what Jesus is going like, "Okay, come. Go ahead. Come on." And so, you know, Peter gets out of the boat. Now, I want to make one point about Peter here, and we're going to get to the focus thing in a minute, too. When he was afraid, his first instinct was to move toward Jesus. All right? His first instinct was to move toward Jesus. And that's important for us. Because whatever you named, when I ask you to name your fear today, it's important in that fear to do like Peter and move towards Jesus. You know, it's not a natural instinct for most people. Out of the 12, he was the only one. There was no fight to get overboard and walk towards Jesus, right? They were not competing there. No, I want to do it. No, you got to do it last time. No, he was the only one that did that. And that is something we can all learn from, that as whatever your fear is, whether it's disease or if it's grief or loneliness or whatever, you move towards Jesus in that fear. So that's point number one. And give Peter a little gold star for that. You know, he did that. The second thing about Peter, and then we'll get to Jesus' point of view in a minute. Peter then starts focusing on Jesus. And this is what Shannon was saying earlier, that as long as he was focusing on Jesus, he was able to do something amazing. But then he started focusing on his surroundings. He started focusing on his circumstances. And when we focus on our circumstances, that's when the fear creeps back in. And that is really, really hard not to do, because it's the reality we live with. You know, and if you've got a disease diagnosis, that's a reality you have to live with. If there's things in your life, financial trouble, that hits you over the head every month like a hammer. And so to not focus on that, but to focus on Jesus is really a trick. So let me give you some ways to do it. And I really feel like this is why we have a church, honestly. One way to have not just be focused on your circumstance is to worship. And we got a good crowd here today. I'm so glad. I hope you can come to worship, because worshiping with the body of Christ is important. If you can't come and you're listening on the radio or you're listening online, that's fine too. At least you're worshiping. I talked to somebody yesterday. This is really cool. she goes to another church, and she's there at 11 o'clock on Sunday. But during the week, when she walks, she listens to Trinity's archive sermons. And that's what she listens to on her phone when she walks. She listens to our sermons, our worship. So you can find ways to do it. So go to worship. Another is prayer. I mean, y'all know that before Trinity and Caldy, I was mostly working and just preaching occasionally. And I'll tell you one thing about being a pastor, it makes you pray a lot more than normal. You know, you have so many people on your heart to pray for. And it's when you just have some time to kill, that's what I do. I just sort of zoom in and I have my list, you know. And the Caudill family had a tragedy a few months ago, and we were up at a guitar venue in Asheville, and Daniel Caudill was there, and everybody was saying hi to him, and I went, "Daniel, I pray for you four times a day." And he looked at me like, "What?" And it was kind of abrupt and awkward. It was like, I mean, good to see you, you know. But I do, I pray so many times a day for different things. And that's something that everybody should have the habit of. And I'm saying that, and I didn't do it before I was a pastor. So, but if you can spend some time in prayer every day, praying for people all around you, that keeps you from focusing on your circumstances, and that keeps you focusing on Christ. Personal devotion time. Having what we used to call a quiet time is that to be able every morning to have a little devotion. And there's these days that the Presbyterian Church, this little booklet the Presbyterian Church does. There's all kinds of online ones. That D365 I mentioned is a website, Devotion 365. You can go there and have one every day. But that is a very important thing. Again, to keep your focus on Jesus and not on your circumstances, so you aren't ruled by fear and you don't start sinking. Here's one and this is why it's important to be a member of a church. Like we're talking about new members classes, is service. Is that when you're involved in serving Christ in the church, or you know, in doing works of service in the name of Jesus Christ, your focus is not on you. Your focus is on doing ministry, doing the mission. So that's another one. And the Holy Spirit flows through you, and you warm up because of you doing service in Jesus Christ's name. And then the last one is studying the Bible study. And, Tuesday night, 6:30 at the Morris Morgan Entertainment Center at Scotia Village, starting on August 29th, we're going to be studying the Gospel of Luke. You're invited. Everybody's open to the public. If you're listening on the radio, you can come. If you're here, you can come. Scotia Village people come. We have about 40 people come to that. And that is a way to not focus on your circumstances, but to focus on Jesus and to grow as a Christ. So that is something you can do. When Jesus says, "Do not be afraid," you're not helpless. You can do those things: worship, personal prayer, personal devotion, service, and Bible study. So those are the two things that Peter did well. Peter's instinct when he was afraid was to move towards Jesus, and then when he lost his focus, began to sink, and you can learn to focus on Christ. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about Jesus and Jesus thing in this, and because this is the new learning for me. The power in this story does not lie in Peter's faith or doubt or courage or fear, but the point of it is Jesus's trajectory in this story, because unlike Peter, his trajectory never changes. Peter starts faithful and then starts to slide. But listen to some ways in which Jesus' trajectory never changes. He's always moving towards us when we're afraid, in our fear. Whatever your circumstance, I want you to always remember what you said your circumstances was today, that fear you have, all right? From the very beginning of the story, Jesus moves towards his disciples. He moves towards them when they're struggling at sea. He moves towards them when they decide he's a menacing ghost. He moves towards them when they're terrified by his approach. He moves towards them when they're reckless enough to dare him to do something. He moves towards them when they begin to drown. He moves towards them when they ask for help. He moves towards them when they're shivering and sorry for their foolishness. He moves towards them when they realize who he is. He moves towards them when they worship him. And to me, that is the great good news of this story, is that in our fear, which everybody has, and doesn't cancel out your faith, the great good news is that Jesus is moving towards you in it. Jesus wants to connect with you in it. And as he is coming to those disciples and they're freaking out, and sometimes the fact that he's coming at you freaks you out, he is moving towards you, and he is the power of the whole universe to be with you in your fear, in whatever that circumstance is. So if you have named it, if you have named that fear for yourself, please know that Jesus is moving towards you, not away from you, is moving towards you. Jesus loves you. You know, we always start, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And he's moving towards you, whatever you're afraid of today. God's with you in it and is moving closer to you, even as you do that. I'm going to close with a quote from a preacher that I've started to really like a lot lately, Debbie Thomas, who's an Episcopal priest in California. And she says this: Jesus never stops moving towards the ones he loves. He never stops crossing the dark water to come to where we are. Neither our fearfulness nor our faithlessness alters his steady approach, because we are the ones he is bound for. Ours is the boat he climbs into, and our flailing bodies are the ones he pulls out of the water. It is for us that he calls out across the terrifying waves again and again and again. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Let's pray together. Lord, we got a lot going on today. We have a lot of things on our mind, and we're afraid of some of the stuff that's happening. The fear of the unknown, what's going to happen now. We know you've been with us in the past, but we pray, Lord, that you would help us. You would help us to focus on you, that we would move towards you as you move towards us, and that we would do the things that allow us to focus on you and see you in the midst of this situation we're in, where we really have some fear and some anxiety. So we give our fears and anxieties to you, because we have faith in you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.